a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast.
This is Matt.
And I guess I was unintentionally doing a radio voice there. Welcome.
Listening to YWAKYM. You've got Mark the Mad Hatter.
See, you do good at that, man. Like our friend over Matinee Heroes, Craig, he does a very good radio voice when he introduces his show and stuff. And I always like kind of envy that. I was like, wow, Craig's got a cool radio sounding voice. And I'm over here just kind of like doing my thing. Like, you know, I don't know. I'm not as, you know, like the old 1950s radio shows were like, you're listening. It's, you know, it's exciting. It's
yeah, fun, man.
You
know? The sound effects, you got the persona, you know? Yeah, man.
I had an idea one time on the very old format of the show, like episodes 1 through 79 or 80 or whatever it was, where we, of doing a retro style show. I don't know if you remember that idea.
I think I remember it. Like,
I could never figure out a way to properly do it. I couldn't find the right voice filters or anything to. I always thought that would be kind of a cool thing. You know, now watch. Somebody out there now is going to steal my idea for a podcast and say, oh, I'm going to go make a retro podcast. I'm sure there's one probably out there somewhere.
I guess someone would take that idea. You got to have like that Boston accent. You got the old school radio Boston accent.
One of our whole 40-50 listeners go steal my idea. Fuck you.
Speaking about Matinee Heroes, I did catch some of their episode this past week, the recasting of the Raiders of the Lost Ark, and that's Craig's favorite film. That's his favorite film of all time.
Yeah, he's a big Harrison Ford guy.
I mean, not a bad pick. If that's your guy, that's not a bad guy.
Raiders is one of my favorite films of all time. I love Raiders.
Oh, for sure. And I kind of agree with the guy that they had recasting. He says it's a top 10 film for him. For me, it's a top 10 film. I don't know if it quite makes it into my top 5. It's really fucking close if it is, but it's definitely in my top 10 of films. And maybe we'll do that one day. You know, we'll have to talk like, you know, just the films that influenced us and why, you know. That'd be cool. But Raiders, man. Fucking cool ass shit. And both of them were casting dead people. It was funny. That Vincent Price was in there as the bad guy. I forget who they had playing Indiana Jones, but neither of them picked Chris Pratt, so he's like, oh, no. That's how I know it's a quality list. He's like, Chris Pratt was not picked.
Do not blame them. You know, I often forget, man, that you know, Houston's own Sean Patrick Flannery played Indiana Jones in the Young Indiana Jones series. You know, I always forget that. Now I really like that show, man. I wish it's hard to find on DVD. It's never been released on Blu-ray. But it's not streaming anywhere. It used to be on Netflix for a while. Then they took it off. But I wish someone would bring that back streaming somewhere. I'd love to watch those old Young Indiana Jones shows. They were fun. It was a fun series. Little small fact is it was one of the most expensive television series ever produced back in the time in the 1990s.
Special effects, probably. Yeah.
Well, just and everything was shot on location. They wanted it all to be real, and so it was a very expensive show. And but that was a good show, man. Maybe it'll get a proper Blu-ray release now. But it seems like now, like old TV shows like that don't really get those. If they're going to get remastered, they're going to get put out, you know, streaming. That's the current format of the world.
Yeah, streaming.
Yeah, is what it is. I mean, nobody buys Blu-ray TV sets anymore, I guess. You know,
far and few between.
Oh well, it's just. I mean, I probably will buy a hard copy of Top Gun Maverick when it comes out, and you know that I'm starting to get to the point where it could be like the next Blu-ray I buy could be the last Blu-ray I ever buy. You know, because they're all going streaming. I just want that so I can have the 4K digital code for my Vudu account too, you know, and I just want it since I own the first one. Anyway, so let's get into today's show then. Download this where we tell people what we watched, streamed, and checked out this week. And I think I went first last week. I'll let you go first this week.
Yeah, man. I definitely finally got caught up with Rings of Power. I watched that episode, and I won't get too much into it in case you haven't seen it, but I did like the battle. I thought that was cool. Very, very Lord of the Ringsy. You know, that's the only way I can explain it. You know, it reminds me of the original films. The battle in particular, the fighting. So I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the series so far, and you know, I can't wait to see where it goes. It's definitely taken a turn that, you know, I didn't expect, and you know, I'm very, very pleasantly surprised with it.
I'm still behind. Okay. On that. I am.
Well, you're farther ahead on Cobra Kai than I am. I'm still only one episode in, surprisingly. As big of a Cobra Kai fan as I am, usually I'm already watched the whole damn series.
Yeah.
But you know, it just stuff happens. I watched something else.
Oh, so you didn't get my Peyton List text the other day.
Well,
you weren't sure, like, oh, what's he talking about?
You know, you said it enough to where I'm like, okay, well, it looks like there's a whole episode of her. So you know, that's something to look forward to. Talk, yeah.
Exactly.
Anywho, I watched it.
We had a coffee pause.
Coffee pause. Sorry about that. I had to take a gulp. I did watch Samaritan because it's something that I wanted to look at and experience. You know, the Stallone superhero flick.
Let me ask you, man. I saw the trailer for it. I haven't watched it yet, but Stallone, he's had to have had the plastic surgery done, hasn't he?
Oh,
his face looks Botoxed all to hell.
Yeah, it kind of looks like it, man. Like, at least
he looks really fake in the face.
Yeah, he's starting to look that way, and I guess you have to at least somewhat, you know, because your face starts to sag. I guess
if you have the money to do it, you know.
Yeah, he definitely has the money to do it, dude. But you know, it's a solid superhero flick. If you got an Amazon Prime account, just watch it. You know, it's there. It's free. Watch it. I'd started to watch Firestarter, the remake of the Stephen King.
I heard it's terrible.
And I only caught like the first 10 or 15 minutes, and I had to do something else, so I wasn't able to really watch that. And then my wife has been watching the Jeffrey Dahmer series on Netflix. And I watched an episode of that, and
I mean, what is it with girls and serial killers,
like,
man?
For real, man, it's scary. You know, they're just
the ex-wife used to watch all that stuff, and I'm just like, how do you? I can't watch that shit and go to sleep. And plus, I just simply really don't find it very fascinating. I my view on serial killers is they were given a chance at life, they ruined it. Screw them. They don't deserve any extra publicity. That's just my thoughts.
I wouldn't mind watching a show like America's Most Wanted kind of show where they talk about, you know, the atrocities the person did, and you know, they go over kind of like the case with the detectives that were assigned that case, but the whole like, hey, let's create a movie and kind of like somewhat glorify the serial killer. It's you know, not my first choice. It's not something that I would watch, but you're definitely right. There's an increase and an uptick in women that really, really love this stuff. My wife being one of them.
Better watch out.
I know, man. Right?
Sleep with one eye open.
Yeah, man. You're gonna have to. Other than that, I don't think I caught much else.
Yeah, I am. I'm caught up on Andor.
Oh, Andor. I watched Andor.
You know, it's a little slower for Star Wars than what we're used to, but I'm starting really, especially with this last episode, with the fourth episode, you're starting to see where it's going. If you really like Star Wars, we're so used to Star Wars giving us a lot of the narrative through action and through adventure. And this show's giving us a narrative through dialogue, so you have to really listen to it. But if you listen to this fourth episode, they throw a lot at you through the dialogue. We're starting to see how it ties to Rogue One. We're starting to see how it ties to the Star Wars universe. And I'm really appreciating it a little bit more with every episode. I'm kind of wasn't sure about the slow burn at first, but the fourth episode has given me some faith in, as to where the slow burn is going. It's extremely well acted. People are complaining about the fact that the guns look like just modified AK-47s and stuff. You know what I have to say to that? So were the guns in the original Star Wars. They've always used modified real guns that they put some things on exactly. And changed them. You know, so it's not that big of a deal. Han Solo's
blaster,
it's
like that. You know?
Yes. That's a silly, silly thing to hate on. Yeah. You know? I thought that was so stupid that people were complaining about that. But I'm kind of really appreciating this show because it is a little different. It's a little gritty, a little grimy. You're kind of starting to see that where the prequels are real colorful and bright, and then when we get to A New Hope, it's war-torn and dirty. You're starting to see that crossover. Yeah. Parts of Andor are really still pretty, and like we see Coruscant and all that. Then you're starting to see like how the war has affected the universe, you know? So you're starting to see that. I'm really digging it, man. And and Diego Luna is fantastic. It's really cool to see him back as Cassian. I really think that this show is going to be over its 12 episodes this year, and its 12 episodes of season 2 is going to probably surprise us, and I think end up being better than people think. I think people, you know, if the biggest thing about Star Wars is too, and we dealt with this with The Last Jedi, is people they wanted Star Wars to broaden its horizons, to branch out, to be a little different. And then when it gets too different, people still complain like they did about The Last Jedi. And I don't think Andor is quite getting the backlash that Last Jedi did, but it's getting some of that same complaints. Oh, it's too different for Star Wars. Yeah. Well, do you want everything to be the same? Because that would be boring. You know? Because I tell people, you know, go back and watch the first season of The Mandalorian. Man, a lot of those episodes are just go here, do this, go here, do this. It's the second season's fantastic, but the first season's a little weaker than people remember it being. They were just so excited because it was new and it was the Mandalorian and it took place in after Return of the Jedi. But it's maybe not as great as people thought it was, if I'm being fair. You know?
Yeah, though, that's a good observation. It's a series about side quests. And side quests yes. that happen because of the side quests.
Yeah. Yes. Where Andor is more richly written. More possibly smartly written, depending on how it all ends up in its conclusions. But I'm liking it so far. What do you think about it?
I like it. I didn't know what I was going to think about it at first. You know, he's like digging into his past and stuff, and I'm like, do we want to know about, you know, Cassian's past, or do we just want to hear a really cool story? But it's been, you know, developing more and more, and just the new characters that we got in episode 4 and the, you know, the new plot devices that we're getting is cool. You kind of, like you said, you see how it's kind of going to be interlinked into the Star Wars universe, and I was entertained, you know, and that's at the end of the day, that's all we want to be, is just entertained. Yep. So exactly. Bring it on.
Yeah, that's what I say. I'm really liking it so far. And then I did watch a few more episodes of Cobra Kai. I think if there's 10 episodes, I think I'm right halfway through. So I think I watched it the first 5. And yes, they give us almost an entire episode of Paintless in a Bikini. And I'm okay with that. And I feel comfortable saying that, even as the chances sound like a dirty old man. You know, she is of age, even though she plays high schooler. So I'm allowed to enjoy that. Exactly. You know? And trust me, it's some wonderful scenic views in that episode. But the show though is just continues to be ridiculously corny, but also so ridiculously watchable somehow. I sometimes I start to think about this, like, how does this show exist? How did it make it 5 seasons? And I think a lot of it is just it came out the right time. It grabbed people by the nostalgic ball, so to speak, and it pulled them in, and it just it's amazing that it's made this long, and not only that, but it survived going from YouTube television to Netflix and has done well.
Yeah, man. I remember whenever it was on YouTube and it was 20 minutes an episode.
I did the 7-day trial just to watch the first season.
and then you binge it, and that way you don't have to, you know, keep up with the, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, and it's still going, and it's, I still stand by what I said. I think they need to announce maybe that there will be a 6th season. That's going to be it. I don't think it needs to go on and on. I do think that it needs to come to a conclusion. Otherwise, it's going to, what do they say, jump the shark in television terms and just get to the point where it's like it's ridiculously more ridiculous than it even is. But it's a fun show to watch. And I think that's really all I watched this week. Were those two things, Andor and what I was just
Cobra Kai.
Cobra Kai. Yeah. You know, that's about it, man. We're kind of in a bit of a movie droll again. You know, the summer movies have ended, and now everybody's kind of waiting for, you know, Black Adam and Black Panther and Avatar 2. You know, we're just kind of in a stalemate again with films. Not much out there to watch unless you can find something to watch on Netflix or, you know, or Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
But it's just the state of the world still. And hopefully now it feels like next year is going to be kind of a back to normal year for movie theaters. It got pretty close this year, but it feels like next year is definitely going to be the year that movie theaters definitely come back with a lot of big releases.
It's primed for it.
But anyway, let's get into today's featured film, a movie that I did see in theaters. And I remember it very specifically because I saw this at the old movie tavern over there on 249, which actually still there. I just, nobody ever talks about it anymore. And I remember having to move seats because it was pouring down rain that day. And it was, the theater was leaking.
Oh, wow.
It was already raining. It was raining where our seat was. So we had to move seats. And so I'll never forget my viewing of Guillermo del Toro's Pacific Rim that day in theaters. So Matt, man, you surprised me a little bit in the pre-show talk that this was your first full watch of this movie. Cause this is definitely a movie that's right up your alley.
Oh, and, yes.
Our alleys. So I was a little surprised. So I'm going to allow you to summarize.
Absolutely. This. Brought to us by the great Guillermo del Toro, AKA the Latino Peter Jackson, baby. Guillermo del Toro does a great job.
Oh, come on, man. Be fair. You know, I would almost argue as Jackson gave us the Lord of the Rings, which are amazing. But I would almost argue del Toro's had a better overall career because he's made a lot more great films. Because he's made more movies for that fact.
You know? Oh yeah, definitely. And
Jackson's always going to remember for the Lord of the Rings and all the Oscars and stuff. But I think I'm really liking del Toro's body of work overall more as it continues to go on. But anyway,
yep. In a future where we spend all of our money making giant robots to punch monsters in the face, and they're powered by two pilots and a overcomplicated Neuralink system, which for some reason, only family members can use it because only family members can be linked until the plot turns. And okay, you don't have to be family members for the Neuralink to link. You can just be a badass Idris Elba who's, you know, nuclear poisoned. Then you can drift. But anyways, you know, you've got freaking kaijus. You've got Raleigh, who is a
coming up pilot.
Coming up from the middle of the earth. They come up you know, they get taken out by these badass robots, one of which is named after a stripper, I believe, you know, gypsy dancer or gypsy midnight. I forget.
Gypsy.
And I was like, man, this sounds.
They call the ships
Jaegers, which I think is cool. I was like, oh, that sounds fucking cool, man. It's like makes me want a Jaeger, you know. Yeah, but you got Charlie Day in there. You've got you know, like I mentioned before, Idris Elba and Charlie Hunan, who I can't remember what else he's in. I know he's in other stuff. Sons of Anarchy, and that Ron Perlman's in there. You know, he's got a small part as the body parts, the kaiju body parts dealer, because people want fucking kaiju wings. And Yeah, man. I mean, you've got giant monsters, robots, monsters getting punched by the face, punched in the face, robots punching monsters in the face. This, you know, sacrificial, you know, story and a speech that, dare I say it, is better than Independence Day by Idris Elba. We're canceling the apocalypse, you know. Hey, man, put Bill Pullman and Idris Elba against each other in a fucking inspirational speech match. And I don't know who comes out on top. It could be this movie. But it's fun. It's loads of fun to watch. It's got, you know, it's based off of no pre-existing franchise, unless you count Rock'em Sock'em Robots, Voltron, Gundam Wing, Godzilla, Ultraman, you know, any anime ever, you know, it's not. But
yeah, I mean, no, you're right. But I said in the preview last week, at the end of the last week episode, this is Del Toro's sandbox movie. He's like, I'm going to make a fucking movie of shit I like growing up. And that's what this
stick
is.
Stick fighting, and it, you know, all kinds of shit.
And as ridiculous as the plot is, you sit your ass down in front of your television or in the movie theater, and you sit back and you become a kid again, and you watch this, and you enjoy the fuck out of it. And that was my thoughts when I walked out of the theater when I first saw Pacific Rim. I was like, that's a good time at the movies.
Yes.
You know, you don't overthink it. You don't, like, expect to win Oscars. You just sit down and enjoy it for everything it is, even if it's ridiculous, even if it's pure science fiction. And it's a lot of great fun. And I just would love – I have to look at my Blu-ray and see if there's a commentary track and see what Del Toro, his thoughts on making this work. Because, you know, his intentions were to kind of turn it into a franchise universe. And the movie, unfortunately, did not do gangbusters at the box office. It made some money back through home video and things like that. So a sequel did get made, but Del Toro had nothing to do with the sequel. In fact, I couldn't even make it through the sequel. I watched about half an hour of it, and it was really bad. I just couldn't even watch it. You know, they tried to cash in on John Boyega's success from Star Wars, and it didn't go well. There is an animated series on Netflix, so it had some stuff, but it didn't quite turn into the franchise that Del Toro was hoping it would be. But none of that really matters, because we still have this one kick-ass film that it's a blast. It's like, I mean, this is one of those movies, like, if you don't enjoy this, then, like, what do you watch movies
for? Yeah, it's like whenever, you know, you see a kid grab a bowl of ice cream and you're like, okay, that's nice. And they add gummy bears and you're like, okay, that's cool. And they fucking put brownie pieces in there and sprinkles and M&Ms. And you're like, whoa. You know, Charlie Day, just the stuff that he's got, the Neuralink. You know, he's funny in that movie, but he's still a scientist geek. He's a kaiju fan. They don't overly do it. So he really works in the film.
Exactly. Cause sometimes I hate it when they have you've seen these science fiction movies before. What's a good example? I can't think of a good example on the top of my head, but you see it where you have all these really serious stuff going on. You'll have this comedic part in it, and it always is just really just stupid. But Del Toro does a great job of this, not making Charlie Day too stupid.
Yeah.
Spielberg is good at that too. Spielberg will have comedic parts of his movies, but they never get too stupid. But then sometimes they're just like Independence Day. That's a perfect example. We mentioned that this has a greater speech than that. The scientist guy, Brett Spiner's character in Independence Day, is almost just too ridiculously stupid. And sometimes you have to hold that back. And Charlie Day is good in this.
Yeah, he really is. I like that he's kind of got that. Why can't I think of the term conspiracy theory that, you know, you can plug in and drift with the monster's brain and it works and it pays off dividends because the monsters are trying, right. You know, are letting them go into this trap thinking they can pass through the bridge, but they can't unless they have kaiju DNA with them. So, of course, they pass through with the kaiju and that's how they get in to destroy the breach. And get back up to the surface. And the love story between Charlie Hunnam and
Raleigh and Maku.
You know, this will they, won't they? There's this awkward romance going on, and then, you know, they like Eskimo kiss at the end, I guess, which is kind of weird. You know, and this is like the greatest dumb movie or the dumbest, greatest movie ever made. It's fun, like you said. It's got a little bit of everything in it. It's you know, you went to the ice cream shop and you threw a shit ton of toppings in there, and it's just fun on top of fun on top of fun. Yeah.
And, you know, you don't question, like, the movie opens up where, like, they're trying to, you know, rebuild parts of the city, and he's, like, a city worker, and they call him in to pilot this ship. You never question, like, where'd all the, like you said, they build these ridiculously expensive robots. Like, who funded this? Where did the world's resources coming from? Like, we're just going to spend, like, if a space shuttle costs $250 billion, I can't imagine what the Jaeger cost. You know, it's like, to, you know, $100 billion. Exactly. It's just like, and they kind of say the world's leaders work together, but still, someone had to fund this. There's no explanation at all. Like, the kaiju suddenly come from the middle of the earth. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah, how'd they get there? You know?
Yeah, it's like, how do they get there in the first place? And, but I think that's the great thing about pure science fiction is you don't question it. You just go with it. You sit down and you're like, okay, cool. Okay, yep. Cool.
You it's know, one of those true believer films, like Stanley would talk about. It requires you to be a true believer, you know, somewhat, maybe not as much so as some of these other films do. But you've got to really, you got to just take it and go with it, you know.
And then some spectacular fight scenes in this. Some of the fights are just super well shot. They shot a lot of them with using models and scales and. There's a lot more practical effects in this than people think there are. They built a lot of models, and then they would CGI the Jaegers or the kaiju into the models they built because they won the city, so look as realistic as they could. I love the scene where he takes the kaiju in the air and he pulls out the sword and cuts it in half and he's falling. I mean, it's awesome. There's some great stuff like that in it, punching the kaijus. Just the battle sequences are really good. In fact, I can't help but think that the makers of the current series of Godzilla films possibly watched this and thought, man, we really got to bring it for American audiences. We're going to make our kaiju films as exciting as this was. I think Guillermo del Toro may never admit it, but he probably wanted to make a Godzilla movie at one point in his career. But instead, he's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to make my own kaiju movie. And that's what he did with this. He probably wanted to make a Robotech movie. And he's like, fuck it. I'm going to make my own Robotech
movie. There you go.
And that's why it's such a pure joy. Just sometimes you watch movies and you think, man, I really want to know what the director was thinking. I'd like to pick his brain about this film. And Pacific Rim is one of those. I'd like to just to hear what Del Toro is like. Yeah, I made this film because I wanted to fucking make it. I didn't make it trying to win an Oscar like The Shape of Water or anything else. I just made this because this is what I wanted to do, you know. And I think a lot of the great directors have sandbox films. Or you're Michael Bay and every single movie you make is a sandbox film.
Explosions and just destruction with him. And it's nice to see, you know, Guillermo, you know, have some fun and make a – you know, a badass movie like this. It's just, you know, just pure fun. And he's not trying to be overly cinematic. He's just trying to make a fun, badass flick, and it works. I enjoyed it. I did mention to you that every single time I had this movie had just passed on cable, you know, and passing, I'd find it at the, you know, maybe like 70% of the way through, and I'd only be able to catch the last act of the film, and I'd never caught the first three acts. And you know, now that I know how the movie is as a whole, I think, you know, I'm like, how did I take this long to watch it?
Blows my mind. Yeah, but like sometimes I'm not surprised you haven't seen a movie, but this one kind of blows my mind just because it's a. Movie will be 10 years old next year. So this one kind of surprised me. You hadn't seen this one. You know, Del Toro, man, he's becoming quite a popular director for our generation, for our genres that we, you know, because I was thinking about, we covered Hellboy 1 and 2. We covered Pan's Labyrinth and this. So we've covered four of his films. I don't think we covered a fifth one, but that's quite a bit. Considering his body of work is not as large as say it's Steven Spielberg or some other directors we've covered, yeah. and we've done four of his movies. So he's doing something right. He's definitely has crossed over into the realm of movies that we enjoy. I'm looking forward. I think his next movie is his version of Pinocchio that's coming to Netflix, I think, at the end of the year. Yeah. I know Disney just put out their own live action Pinocchio, but I know he's doing his own version. He's just making some good movies, man. I think The Shape of Water was fantastic. I mean, Pan's Labyrinth is my personal favorite film of his. Blade 2 is really good, actually. You know, it's probably the best of the three Blade movies that came out. Sure. I've always wanted to see The Devil's Backbone from him. I heard it's good. I never did finish Nightmare Alley. It was probably one movie that I just – it wasn't as successful for me. I think I need to get in the right mood and try to watch it. And I still haven't seen his ghost movie either, what he did with Tom Hiddleston, Crimson Peak.
Oh, okay.
I haven't watched that yet. Yeah.
Heard I know okay. of it, but I haven't watched it myself either.
So, but definitely enjoy the hell out of Pacific Rim. Pan's Labyrinth might be my favorite movie of his, but Pacific Rim might be my favorite guilty pleasure movie of his, just because it's such a fun kick-ass movie.
Yeah,
and I think that it feels like it's a movie any one of us would want to make. Like, hey, I'm gonna direct a movie, I'm gonna do some badass shit like this, you know. So I'm still holding out hope one day that we get a freaking badass live action Robotech or Gundam movie. I would love something like that.
Gundam can definitely be done for sure,
and Pacific Rim's pretty close to that. Yeah. But not quite a Gundam.
Yeah, movie. Gundam's more political. You know, you have five Gundams that are meant to overthrow the Union and bring back power to the individual states.
Shit, there's so many damn Gundam stories out there.
Yeah, it depends on which one. That's Gundam Wing. There's Mobile Suit Gundam, which is how that comes together. That's the precursor to that. And then you've got G Gundam, which I think is completely different. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't go too far, man. Friend of the show and former co-host Frankel comes try to school us on it. You know?
Yeah, he will. He may say that I'm getting it wrong.
He considers himself a Gundam expert.
That's right.
You know, we all know Frank is only the expert of sitting on his couch and fondling his balls. I didn't know what else to say at that moment.
It's probably not, probably fairly accurate. probably.
But Pacific Rim, man, fun movie. It's on HBO Max. If you've never seen it, want to watch it. I do know it's on there. I've owned this. I'm pretty sure this was a day one purchase for me when it came out on Blu-ray back when people were still buying Blu-rays.
Yeah.
regularly. Because I remember seeing this in theaters and just loved the hell out of it, and just a kick ass movie. I was still married at the time. I know I saw it with the ex wife, and I do remember her enjoying it too. We walked out of the movie theater that day very satisfied with this film, and as if you're a movie going fan, you should be satisfied with this film. It's okay to watch stuff that might not possibly make sense. It might not all fit your perfect little world narrative. It's okay to sit back, grab a tub of popcorn, enjoy a fucking movie.
Yeah. Right? It's okay. Just do it.
That's how I felt watching Jurassic World Dominion a couple weeks ago. I just sat back and I enjoyed it. And I'm sitting there watching it going, why do people hate on this movie so hard? Just enjoy it.
Yeah, you got the original cast back. Come on.
It got dinosaurs running around eating people. Just enjoy it.
Raptors.
And it was better than Fallen Kingdom.
Definitely.
So, but yeah. All right, let's do some news. And we're going to kick off the news with a bang because this was huge fucking news. So we got a nice little viral video the other day from Ryan Reynolds. And he basically came out and said that they were announced Deadpool 3 is coming in and it's part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I'm going to use the word cute here because it was a cute little thing where he said, hey, Hugh, you want to play Wolverine again? And we see Hugh Jackman walk in the background and said, yeah, sure, Ryan. Yep. Basically confirming that Hugh's going to come back at least one more time and play Wolverine, Logan, and Deadpool 3. Now, I'm a bit on two sides of the street on this. I don't think the Deadpool movies are like great. I do enjoy the first one, and I will, and when I say that, Ryan's great. I enjoy Ryan in the role. He's great as Wade Wilson. I just think that the movies are okay. You know, I guess they could have been better is what I'm saying. But on the flip side of that, I'm also a huge Wolverine fan. He's probably my favorite Marvel superhero. I love what Hugh did with the roles. I love Logan, which we cover on this show. So I'm super excited to see Hugh come back for one more time. So this is incredibly badass news. They reaffirmed that it's real, that they're not just trolling people with a second video where they said this is what the movie's about. It's all silent. They look like they're talking. It's really funny. And the movie's coming out in is it next year or 2024?
Oh, it's next year.
Is it next year?
Wow, I thought it was late next year. I could be wrong.
Maybe. I don't remember. But this is pretty big, man. He swore it off. He said he wasn't going to play Wolverine again. But it looks like they're getting what the fans wanted. I also think that they've known about this
2024.
Is it 2024? I do think that Hugh and Ryan have known about this for a while. I would imagine this has been in play since the Fox merger or Fox buyout by Disney, and they just were doing a really good job of trolling people. Because I believe Ryan Reynolds would do that, because he's been a master at trolling for years now. But this is pretty badass, man, don't you think?
Yeah, and I like the way they announced it. It's in true Ryan Reynolds Deadpool style. Instead of "I will always love you," it's "I will always love Hugh." And they put the subtitles in there. And I like how he's always just kind of mentioned Hugh Jackman in his films. And then he had that little snippet where he went into the past and acted like he convinced Wolverine to come back into the MCU. So I thought that was pretty funny. The films definitely have their moments, but I am looking forward to Deadpool 3. I mean, you can't go wrong with having, you know, Logan return. You've got the potential for a top five Marvel film if it's done right. You know, if you've got that.
Well, my biggest thing with the Deadpool film so far is like the first one. I really like the second half of the film where he's fighting the bad guy and all that. I liked all that, but the first half I just found the origin very kind of boring, pedestrian. So I was like, yeah, it's okay. But then the second film, I felt like I found the kid very annoying, and I felt like the Cable I grew up with, I wanted that kid.
Yeah.
I wanted the Cable with the big shoulders, the big guns. I wanted Stephen Lang playing Cable, not That's Josh Brolin.
Or Kevin Nash.
It's just like, it wasn't the Cable I wanted. No disrespect to Josh Brolin. It's fine. I don't know. The second one, it's okay. You know, the first one is more, I think, a little more fun, more watchable. So hopefully the third one kick some ass, and it should with Wolverine in there, man. That's going to be pretty badass, I think. Looking forward to that. Another franchise I really enjoy. In fact, it's been one of my favorite modern trilogies. I think they rebooted this saga with outstanding effects and outstanding storytelling and movies with the Planet of the Apes trilogy, and they're going to continue that story with Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. It's going to come from Josh Bell, who directed the Maze Runner films. I only saw the first one. I remember it being okay. You know, I know people are upset that Matt Reeves isn't coming back, but he's busy doing Batman films now, which is a good thing. And I think the Maze Runner films, from what I saw and the amount of money they made, I don't see why Josh Bell's not capable of doing this, as long as he has good people around him and pulling off a good movie. It's going to take place several years after War for the Planet of the Apes. As we know, spoiler alert, you know, Caesar died at the end of War for the Planet of the Apes, and he left his son and his group of apes looking for a new home. So I think the title of Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes gives the fact that this is many years later and the apes are probably about taking over the planet. We know there's different sections of apes out there, and I would imagine it's going to be about Caesar's son. That makes the most sense. So I'm really excited they announced this.
Yeah, no, it's cool that we finally got another, you know, storyline to back off, to piggyback off of, War for the Planet of the Apes. And, you know, we'll see where this thing goes. Definitely cool to see another apes film out there.
Yeah. I mean, those three films from the first one, we've only covered Rise so far, and I imagine we'll get the other ones. It was just a really good, solid trilogy, man. A lot of times this movie trilogy will come up in conversations and people haven't seen it. And they're like, oh, I don't know. And I sell it to them. I'm like, dude, trust me. Give this trilogy a shot, man. It's, you know, it's, they always, oh, James Franco, dude, he's fine. Yeah. He's, you know, watch the film, you know,
fine in the film.
Really good movies, man. So I'm looking forward to King. I've been a fan of this franchise since the 60s films. I've always liked this franchise. It's one of my favorite science fiction franchises. I even have a soft spot for the Mark Wahlberg film. There's things that I like about. So I'm good with them continuing the saga on. Maybe on the podcast, we did Planet of the Apes Beneath the Planet of the Apes. Maybe it's time we cover the third one in the original 60 stories eventually here and get around to it. So that's coming out in 2024. So we got to wait a little bit for that. The Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is on its way. A little bit of Marvel news. We talked about this on the show a couple weeks ago. How does Nick Fury not get his own film, but they're going to give Don Cheadle his own film now? Armored Wars is going to go from a television series on Disney Plus to apparently being redeveloped for its own film. Wow. Interesting, to say the least.
I didn't see that coming. I thought Armored Wars was more of a TV series, like you said, like it was.
Right. It feels like Secret Invasion's a bigger story than this. And I want to always say trust in Kevin Feige, because we have to this point, but so far phase four has been kind of
lackluster.
So, yeah. So we'll see. I had no disrespect at all to Don Cheadle. I love him. He's always been a good actor. I just thought it was interesting that this news came out that Armor Wars has become a movie and Secret Invasion's not. So
yeah.
I guess it is what it is. And there's trouble in the Marvel. You know, Marvel has had a track record lately of keeping directors. And you know, we know we got John Watts stepped away from Fantastic Four. There was something else that changed. And now Blade has lost its director.
I saw that.
And this movie was set to go into production like in November. Hopefully Marshala Ali does not step down as Blade, because I really want to see him as Blade. Hopefully Marvel solves this and someone steps in soon. You know, I would love to see direct this movie, but I know he's probably going to be too busy doing press for Black Panther. But man, I think Ryan Coogler would make a fantastic
Blade. Oh, for sure.
So hopefully Marvel is able to solve this problem quickly and Blade gets filmed. We'll see. Log has not been on the show the last couple weeks. As we know, he would have probably something to say about this, but Paramount, maybe it's time to give up on Star Trek IV. They've now pulled it from their schedule again as they've lost the director again. I think a lot of the problems, I have to believe a lot of the problems are stemming from being able to re-sign this huge cast of Chris Pine and all the other actors. Because let's face it, Pine's a big actor now. He probably wants a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. So is Saldana, probably isn't.
Much as I enjoy. Yeah, exactly. Zachary Quintero, all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, Carl Urban's busy doing The Boys. He doesn't need to do Star Trek. I think that, Paramount put themselves in a hole by signing all these big names originally. And we got three good films from the Kelvin timeline, but maybe it's just not the way to go anymore. Maybe Paramount needs to rethink Star Trek. And it seems like Star Trek's doing very well on the small screen on Paramount Plus. Maybe that's where they should keep that universe and maybe just retire Kirk and all these people, you know, and move on. You know, I mean, Star Wars has done it. You know, they've moved on from Luke and Leia and Han. Sometimes it's okay to do that. I wanted to see another story with those people, but if I don't get it, you know, we got the three films we got. You know, so it's just time for Paramount to move away. And what did I write down here? That's bad when you can't read your own writing.
It happens to me every once in a while. Like, what was I trying to say? Yeah, and then you got to use context clues to look around it and guess what you thought you were going to say.
While I'm looking up what I wrote down, we can't talk about this. James Earl Jones seems that he's a, even though he hasn't officially came out himself and said it, it seems like he's retiring from the voice of Darth Vader as he sold his digital rights to his voice to be used in voice work in Darth Vader. And he will always be a legend. There's no doubt about that. Iconic, no doubt, with his voice as Darth Vader and as an actor himself. But it's kind of cool, I guess, they sold his voice to be used for a
while. Yeah, no, and this is the same technology that they used in Kenobi. So it shouldn't, you know, shouldn't freak anyone out. I mean, he's 91, 92 years old. I mean, he's got to pass along those rights at some point so that we can have more Darth Vader in the future.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And I mean, Bruce Willis has apparently sold his deepfake rights to use his image and stuff in movies, which I thought was that's a little more eerily strange, I guess, to do. You know, it's like, oh, you're going to sell your face to be digitized into a movie. That's a little weird.
Odd.
But, you know, let's face it, Bruce Willis, I mean, it's disappointing his condition that he can't act anymore, but he was pretty much just doing everything for paychecks the last few years anyway.
Easily.
If we're being honest. Yeah. You know, so doesn't surprise me that he sold his facial recognition rights. And I have no idea what this other thing I wrote down was. Now I do. We finally got our first look from HBO at The Last of Us. We got to see Pedro Pascal as Joel and the girl that plays Ellie. And I'm pretty excited for this. As a big fan of the games, it looks like they there's some stuff from the game in there, but it looks like they're going to do a little more prequelish type stuff and tell how these things showed up. The part in the trailer that got me was just hearing the sounds of the clickers in live action. I was like, oh yeah. They're just as creepy in live action as they are in the video game. Word is that this is coming out. It's January, February, 2023. That's not too far away. We've talked about this many, many times on the show. Most video game adaptions are, not well done. But here's hoping that this one, I think people have a lot of faith in HBO. I have a feeling this might be, I'm going to go out and make a prediction here, Matt. This could be our first great video game adaptation to a screen.
Yeah, it could. I mean, you just have to make a better film than Mortal Kombat, you know, which shouldn't be hard. You know, not that Mortal Kombat is a bad film, but you know, it's solid and you can beat solid. There's, especially nowadays, you get the right director, you should be able to beat solid.
Well, and I think some of these games, you know, they're formatted, you know, that you play them, they're anywhere from 6 hours to 25 hour games. You know, Last of Us is easily a 10 to 20 hour game. So they're formatted. They're not made to tell the story in 2 hours sometimes. So a television series like this is, you know, 10 episodes, 20, 30 episodes over three seasons might be the perfect format to tell the story of The Last of Us. So I think it's a good way to go. I'm excited for this. Can't wait
Definitely
to watch it.
Cool.
So, that's all the news I had this week. Some good stuff out there, man. Good news to talk about. Good movie we talked about today in Pacific Rim. It was kick-ass. So right now, the plan is, if you listen to last week's show, you know that my life is a little chaotic right now as I'm going to be moving. So it looks like I'm going to be moving this week. So we might not be set up for a show next week. We might not. It's just all up in the air. But no matter what, we're going to preview next week's show, because even if we don't do next week's show next week, we will do it in 2 weeks. And it is October. As you listen to this episode on Monday, October 3rd is when you get this episode. It is October. So we are going to be starting Halloween Horrors Month and talking some horror films. And we're going to kick it off with a sequel to a movie we covered a couple years ago. I'm not as big of a horror film as you are, obviously, Matt, but 28 Days Later is one of my favorite horror films I've ever watched. So we're going to do the sequel to that. And next week, we're going to talk 28 Weeks Later.
Welcome to London.
How old are you, Andy? 12.
I think that makes you the youngest person in the entire country.
Oh, I missed you so much.
What are you afraid of?
What if it comes back?
It won't come back.
What if it does?
If it comes back, we kill it.
If you come into direct contact with the infected...
Run!
What happened, Dad?
It's Mom.
Step two, containment. Containment fails. Step three, extermination.
Do you think Mum's still alive?
Not this time.
We've lost control.
Now they won't stop until everyone is dead.
Code Red.
You know, this is an interesting film. It's not directed by Danny Boyle. He didn't come back. He did produce it. His schedule was too busy to direct it. It still feels like a Danny Boyle film in some ways because the director kind of emulated his style with a sequel. This is actually a pretty good sequel, though. It's really not a bad movie at all. It's not maybe as tight and as horrifying as the first one. It's a little bit more of an action sequel, but it's still a good movie. And I'm kind of looking forward to rewatching it. It's been a while since I've seen this one.
Been a while for me too.
I don't know if it's, I don't know if it's streaming anywhere. I have it on my Vudu account, so I can watch it there. But it might be streaming somewhere out there. But it'll be a fun one to kick off Halloween Horror Month. I think a good zombie horror film for, the month of October as, people get ready for spooky season, spooky as they call season. Yeah, so next week on the show, or in 2 weeks, 28 weeks later. But until then, man, the RebelRadioPodcast.com, that's where you can find all your Rebel Radio needs and our Twitter accounts, our Facebooks, and our Instagram, all that. Those links are on there to follow us. And we thank you, as always, for listening. Just continue to be safe out there and enjoy some good movies when you have time. And until then, this has been Matt. Mark. Remember, as always, just go there and do it.